The idea of a trail along Humboldt Bay on California's north coast is not a new idea, but it's taking a while to turn into a reality. The state of California recently gave a financial boost to the Humboldt Bay Trail effort with a $2 million grant for engineering design and environmental permitting. Let's understand the process going on and the many agencies involved. Karen Diemer is with the City of Arcata Environmental Services Unit. She is a deputy there and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Karen, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for letting us come on and kind of share some of our big milestones in our Humboldt Bay Trail project with your listeners.
Well, let's go back to milepost one then, and let's talk about the genesis of the Humboldt Bay Trail and when it was first conceived and what's been happening.
Well, to be candid, I'd say the Humboldt Bay Trail really was conceived probably close to at least 15 years ago. This community has been talking about creating non-motorized transportation corridor, a trail that people could bike and run and walk between Arcata and Eureka for really, you know, at least 15 years now. But as a lot of your listeners know, it's a very complicated corridor with the Highway 101, with the North Coast Railroad Authority rail line, and then Humboldt Bay in a very constrained space. So we have slowly plodded along. There has been sort of, I'd say, a large push effort the last 4 years that was spurred by the California Coastal Conservancy that came up and really started to seriously look and fund efforts to try to site and design the California Coastal Trail through our section of the state. And through that effort, we've really identified probably 8 segments that get us from South Eureka to the north side of Arcata. And each of those 8 segments now is being worked on either by the County of Humboldt, by the cities of Arcata, the City of Eureka, and then with support kind of on all sections from Caltrans and then our local transportation government, JPA, which is called Humboldt County Association of Governments.
JPA is for the non-Californians Joint Powers Authority?
Joint Powers Authority, so it's the county and then all of the local city jurisdictions in this area and how we spend transportation monies in this region.
So where the trail is proposed to go, what is there now?
In some sections, as I said, we really have 8 segments that we are working on concurrently, and the City of Eureka constructed 2 segments recently, about a 1.5-mile segment on the south end called the Hixari Trail, and then their boardwalk section. And then it is posed to come up kind of behind Target in Eureka and then run right along the Humboldt Bay coastline. So it'll be on the west side of the Highway 101, but on the east side predominantly of the North Coast Railroad Authority railroad tracks. So in between Highway 101 and the tracks is where the trail is proposed to go as we go from the stretch from Eureka up to Arcata.
Now, without that trail in existence right now, if somebody wants to take a long stroll or a long bike ride from Eureka to Arcata, it's not that long, granted, but they're still going to be in a place where they have to share the road with cars and trucks?
Yeah, currently we do have a lot of bike commuters that do utilize the existing shoulder of Highway 101, but what we've heard from this community is that we have a lot of bike commuters that want to utilize a pathway between Eureka and Arcata, but they don't feel safe doing it in its current condition.
There's been a bit of a spotty history with the railroad, I know. Is it even operating at this point?
The railroad itself between Eureka and Arcata is not operating at this point, but they have been a very good partner in terms of our sort of last year's 4 to 5 years of programming and planning. Arcata phase, which goes from Arcata down as far south as Bray Cut, so just about 2 miles down into the 101 corridor. They are still actively working, the North Coast Railroad Authority, actively working on trying to restore some level of rail service in several segments of their track. And they do share with us that they're still hopeful that there will be some rail service here around the Humboldt Bay area. But to that end, they've also been very supportive of the concept of rail with trail. And they went so far as holding a series of meetings here in the end of last year and put forth a resolution really supporting specifically the Humboldt Bay Trail use of their rail corridor to concurrently allow trail and future railroad use. And so we've worked kind of lockstep with the Railroad Authority and will continue to do so because that public right-of-way is going to be a key factor in being able to fit this trail in between the highway and the bay.
That's an important distinction, rail with trail, as opposed to the Rails to Trails programs that that may be familiar to people in other parts of California. In fact, there's the plan for the Eel River Canyon, too, I think, isn't there? Which would be a Rails to Trails project?
Yeah, there has been a group in Southern Humboldt that has been working on that segment as well. I don't think they're quite as far along as we are up here on the north. But yeah, rails with trails, I think what we're really fortunate is that this is a public right-of-way. The North Coast Rail Authority is a public entity. And so having that shared use, I think, you know, should be very smooth in our area. The city of Ukiah is also working on a rail with trail project, and they have just worked out sort of the first template of a license agreement with the North Coast Railroad Authority just last month in terms of how to share that corridor for use of rail with trail. So we will be looking to that as a template as we move, you know, kind of that same model up here into the North Coast.
Karen Diemer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the City of Arcata Environmental Services. We're talking about the Humboldt Bay Trail. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So the $2 million that the state awarded for engineering design and environmental permitting, how much farther along, how big a shove does this give the Humboldt Bay Trail?
That money really should bring the section that goes from Breaka, which is not quite halfway to Eureka, down into Eureka. That should be the final monies necessary to do complete final route alignment determination. We've done some cursory look at a number of different alignments in that area, but this money will give the detailed studies that will allow this community to decide on a final alignment and on a selected alignment, and then all of the environmental studies and engineered designs to make that really what we sort of call shovel ready, so ready to go out to bid. The other exciting piece that happened at the exact same California Transportation Commission meeting was they did approve funding for construction, actually, of the first phase of our northern end project. So the urban section of the Arcata phase was approved for $842,000 of actual construction funding. And that is a segment of trail that we had California Coastal Conservancy funds to plan and complete all those environmental designs. So it's an exciting milestone for all of us working on the Humboldt Bay Trail to actually have our first monies now going towards implementation and construction at the same time as being able to complete planning on the phase that's really going to connect the two communities of Arcata and Eureka.
Okay, so two different pots of money, $2 million then for the planning part and then $842,000 for the construction of that first phase.
Yeah, so it was an exciting day for Humboldt County.
All right, so when will the construction start on that first phase?
We should be out to bid by the end of summer, and we are hoping to start construction this fall, and then we'll finish up because we typically have a very short construction season, although you wouldn't know it with the weather we're having this year.
Right.
But we anticipate a short construction season is typical in this area, so we will allow that contractor to finish up the trail in 2015.
All right, 2015. And that was a two-mile segment, you said?
It's about a 1.1 mile section through town here in Arcata.
Okay, through town. And then how well separated from vehicular traffic is that portion?
It gets close to roadways, and it is part of sort of a revitalized urban interface with the what we call the historic Creamery District here in Arcata. But the trail itself is completely separated from vehicles and, you know, the entire section.
So how long does the paperwork and planning process go on for the other segment, the one that the state just gave the $2 million for? I mean, when you talk about getting it right up to shovel ready, up to the point of bids going out, is that the potential for construction to start maybe in 2015, or is it even farther out than that?
You know, it's kind of a guess in terms of how long the various regulatory agencies need to take to complete all of the studies and the review of that process. I would honestly say best case scenario with the experience that we've had on the north end that it will be a two-year planning process to complete all the environmental studies and then go through all of the noticing requirements and the comment period times to get that project really where it's ready to go out the door.
Is there a fair amount of environmental assessment kind of work that goes along with this, environmental reports under CEQA, that sort of thing? And in addition to just the general environmental edge of things, there's also concern, I understand, about rising sea levels and what that might do to the trail.
There is, and as you can imagine, in this corridor, we are right along the California coastline. And so there are a lot of sensitive species that we first look to avoid, and then where we have to have impacts, we look to mitigate those. So there are a number of very specialized studies that have to occur at a number of different seasons depending on when some of those plant species bloom, you know, when you go out to survey in different seasons. In addition to that, there are several studies right now in Humboldt Bay area that are looking at sea level rise. So our project is in coordination with those projects and looking at the real predictions and what we can do to better ready our coastline for sea level rise. And we're looking at a number of different options, from the concept of living shorelines, where you create additional biological activity along shorelines that maybe historically have been more, you know, rock or riprapped, and creating more biological activity along them to break sort of the energy of waves. So we have a grant that's looking at that. And then we have an overall Humboldt Bay sea level rise planning effort that's happening right now as well. So we want to make sure that we stay in step with that planning effort so that our designs match up with the predictions coming out of that work as well.
Karen Diemer, is the $2 million from the state the largest single chunk of money thus far? It sounds like there's a lot of bits and pieces that are coming together from here, from there, et cetera.
Yeah, certainly the $2 million infusion into this project is the largest that we've seen to date. I think what it really speaks to is that this community has spoken for so long about the need and the priority of this project. And we have finally, through local means, through agency funds that we've all pooled together, been able to get this project to the forefront to really convince the state and the federal dollars that this is a priority for our region and deserves the type of funds that we need coming from those outside sources to build a large project like this in a rural area. And to me, that's a huge milestone for this community to show enough collaborative effort that they can see that this is really a priority for us here.
Must have been at least as big a psychic boost as it was a financial boost.
I think all of us feel like this is actually coming to fruition, and it's, you know, a lot of our predecessors that worked on this project for a long time, and those of us working on it now, I think just feel lucky to be working on the project at the point that things are really falling into place.
All right, we will check back in with you down the road to see how construction is going along once we get into construction of that first phase in Arcata that you mentioned, and then probably down the road as well as we talk about further developments along with the Humboldt Bay Trail. Karen Diemer with the City of Arcata Environmental Services, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing in our region as well.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. Which brings us, I couldn't have not have set it up better myself, but here's Karen Diemer talking about the things we do in the region. And here we are asking for your support because we want to be able to continue to do what we do. Charlotte Duren back on the microphone with me. It is day one of Spring Fund Drive 2014 here at Jefferson Public Radio. We are asking for your support.
Yes, day one. Good morning. And we want those pledges of support to come in. We have lots of volunteers here this morning on the first day of the Spring Fund Drive, and we need you to make that call of support. It's you who is going to help us reach that goal of $200,000 for this fund drive, and we know we can do it because we know that we have listeners out there who care about Jefferson Public Radio and keeping this type of programming on the air. If it's the Jefferson Exchange or earlier the Diane Reams Show or Morning Edition, whatever you listen to, whatever makes you want to give that pledge of support, make that now. 888-552-6191 is the number to call. A big thank you to a new member, Greg Hansen, for your pledge of support. Greg says, always the best in news coverage, straightforward and balanced. Jeffrey Riley does a great job on the Jefferson Exchange, and Open Air provides music that doesn't rattle my cage. Just great to listen to. Well, thank you, Greg, for that pledge of support.
You are very kind, Greg. Thank you for that. Christine Davis and Ashland sent in a pledge of support as well. Thank you so much for that, Christine. You know, there's a bit of a curve if you look at the pledges on a graph, and it's rather dumbbell shaped, where it's really big at the beginning and really big at the end and sort of tapers off in the middle. We want to make sure that that's a pretty fat line all the way through, and in fact, if we can front load this as much as possible, we always could stop this early once we reach that goal of $200,000. We do that by having you call your pledge into 888-552-6191 or pledge online at ijpr.org. the whole point of this is that the sooner you make your pledge of support, the sooner you can feel good about yourself. We have some people, you're going to hear us talk a lot during this drive about sustaining members, where their income is diverted to JPR on a regular basis. They give us a certain amount per month. We can make a direct withdrawal from whichever account they designate or you designate if you choose to go this pathway. And I'll tell you something, the sustaining members feel probably pretty good on any day of the pledge drive because they're thinking, oh, I don't have to call. I did already. I'm a sustaining member. My membership in JPR is sustained. I just keep going and going and going until I say stop. And you can say stop. And you can also, you know, if your financial circumstances change and you need to send in less, you know, whatever your circumstances are, we're fine with that. All we ask is that if everybody who listens to public radio supports public radio, our job and our ability to do what we do just gets that much easier. So please let us hear from you with a pledge of support very soon.
Yes, make that pledge of support. This is day one. Let's get the momentum going. It's your chance to, you know, put a dollar amount to the programs and the services that you love. 888-552-6191. Or you can pledge at ijpr.org. And thank you for your pledges of support.
I think we have jumped up another $1,000 in just an hour, Charlotte. We are shooting again for $200,000, which may sound lofty. This is the first time we've had an overall goal with a 2 in front of it, but it's only $10,000 bigger than last time. But being a little more aggressive, I guess, about what we're seeking here, but we're at $3,650 at the moment with 38 people calling in pledges thus far this morning, calling in and sending in online pledges. However it gets here, if you want to drop it off at the front door in person, as one of our young listeners does every year, that's great. It's always nice to visit with our listeners because we don't get to see you at all. We don't get to talk to you very often. We do get the two-way during the pledge drive itself. But however you can find a way to support Jefferson Public Radio is fine with us because it is truly coming from the heart, from you and from us as well. We do this because you are there supporting us. And the more you give, the longer we can do this. 888-552-6191 is the line to make a pledge of support by phone. You can pledge online at ijpr.org. That'll finish up this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening. Thanks for donating.